too many Tic Tacs in the town.
That's crushed.
Wow, those teeth. They're gorgeous.
Yeet. What's a yeet?
Yeet.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 3:38 starting time. Please welcome from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Matthew Wiley. Play away, please.
Golf Lady 133. Bah, bah. Nirvana, Breed, live. Probably reflects my attitude this week and tonight. Intense. Not much different than from any other day, typically. But I am kind of mercurial that way. You never know what you're going to get with my moods. We're on Stitcher now, and Spotify, and Casts, and every other platform that hosts or you can index a podcast from. So look it up. You're listening to one now. You can follow me on Twitter at Wiley77, at Golflandia, or my burner account at syrup_please. More on that in a second. The intro was about 40 seconds, I just realized, after 133 shows. It's kind of long, but it allows me time to open files and prepare notes that I forget to do after I hit record. So I need that 40 seconds. It's counting down. As soon as that music is in, I know I've got to hurry. Subscribe, rate, and view the podcast. This week, we've got two premier events, the WGC. Listen, I've had about, as I said on Twitter, a half a kilo, not of what you think, of Splenda. I'm lame. I am in bed at nine guy, okay? I don't drink. I don't do drugs, but I eat and drink a lot of Splenda, and I think I had too much today. Because my brain ain't a-working. So you're going to hear me fumble over a lot of words. Not unusual today. That's why. I was always told by my family to not have so much Splenda in coffee, in Red Bull, in everything. And now my tongue is tingling. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. There are two big issues this week. Wait. See? WGC Mexico and the Puerto Rico Open opposite field event. It's basically your entire PGA field split in two. It's fantastic. And guess what? We're going to be as interested, and this is the topic of the day, du jour, as the pretentious people say. There are no, quote, elite, quote, stars in the field, the Puerto Rico Open. But guess who's going to be interested? All of us. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Hang on. More Splenda. There we go. Chuggy, chuggy, I'm going to die. That's the Red Bull. The two major issues this week that are dominating are, of course, the coverage on television. It's that way every week. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of complaining about it. I didn't think it was so bad. And poor Frank Nobolo. I like Frank Nobolo. And he has to defend the network. It wasn't great, but what? Listen, it's very difficult to pivot coverage and production after doing it for the same way for 70 years. But I know they're trying, and I have evidence and proof that they are. As Jeff Shackelford tweeted a few weeks ago, the PGA Tour is going to have a larger role, if not all, the entire role in production of the event. Why? Because they want to cater to you, Y-O-U. So don't go jumping to the Premier Golf League just yet, folks. That's the other issue going on this week. The Premier Golf League, the PGL, the Pangolin Golf League. It looks like the word pangolin. And we all know those things are destroyers of the world. Those are the two issues. Coverage on TV, again, and the PGL. Third issue, syrup. And that guy who I haven't told you about, I tweeted about it. I was at breakfast. One morning, it was Josie's in Lexington writing the show. And some guy beside me, when there was one server for 1,000 people, interrupted everything she was doing. Everyone's just trying to be, you know, polite and helpful, except this guy, because he didn't get his syrup with his pancakes quickly enough. And he said it's syrup. Syrup. It's syrup, my guy. It really, really tested my patience and my emotions at that very moment. I didn't get my syrup. Okay, pal, we'll be fine. Eat your pancakes. You're 6 years old, my dude. The issues 1 and 2, the TV coverage and then the Pangolin Golf League, are intertwined, right? Here's why. Well, I'll get to why in a second, but you'll see why they're intertwined. The PGL, from what we understand right now, is heavily funded by billionaires overseas. It's very serious, and they're very serious about it, and some players are very serious about looking at it. Now, whether or not that's a leverage play by them, smartly, is in question. I understand from the international players who don't live in the U.S. and would probably want to play less tournaments a year in smaller fields for more money. Sure. But it's going to be 48 players, 54 hole cuts, 54 holes, no cut events for $10 million each week. It's pretty attractive, right? And I've heard from agents, I've heard from players, and I heard from people affiliated with the tour. Yes, of course there's concern by the PGA. It's a giant enterprise, and they've got to protect their label and their brand. Of course they're going to consider it. But walk through, first of all, walk through how just from a business standpoint, this is going to work for the Pangolin Golf League. Who are the 48 players, first of all, they're going to jump ship from the PGA and go over there? And will it matter to the viewers on who are watching the PGA now? There are what, 3 to 5 maybe super elite players that probably really move the meter every week. Tiger, of course, perhaps Phil, perhaps JT, perhaps Brooks, definitely Rory. Rory may be on top for me. If that guy left, I may wear a PGL hat. He's fantastic in everything. He's fantastic at interviewing. He's fantastic at golf. He's fantastic at filling out shirts. And he got his hair cut. He looks a lot more kept. Plus, the quotes he gives, even for this issue, were fantastic. I'll talk about that in a second, if I remember it with the amount of Splenda I'm ingesting right now. But walk through that. Number one, who are the stars that are going to leave and absolutely, quote, crush the PGA? There aren't enough. Are they going to relinquish majors? Are they going to relinquish tour status? Because the PGA is not going to let them straddle both, likely. Does that hurt their official world golf rankings? Is it recognized as an actual tour? Are fans going to be upset that these guys left for money? Are fans interested in just watching Brooks Koepka beat Tapio Pulkkanen, beat his brains in every week in Saudi Arabia for $10 million? Is that going to move the meter? It's not like these guys, even Rory, my guy, or DJ, are winning every week. I mean, you had Homa, Damon, Gooch, Kang. They're all playing just as well as those guys last week. So being a star is kind of subjective. But is that what we're going to tune in? I mean, if that was what we're going to tune into, they would have more Tiger versus Phil one-on-one matches with microphones and heavy breathing every week, which I didn't like at all when they did it in Vegas. Why? More on that in a second. But a lot of it has to do with what? Tradition of the PGA. What we know about how we watch and what we know about the PGA Tour and how we've consumed it and what the tour has done to build these players' careers. I get it. They can use it. The players can use it as leverage, and they probably should. They do too much media, probably. They don't get appearance fees like they do overseas sometimes. They feel like they're probably carrying a lot of the weight of the rest of the field, and then they get beaten by the rest of the field when they don't have a great Sunday, and they're probably losing money and time and sleep and fuel costs for their G6s to go to these tournaments. And it's not really enticing for them. And so they, as Rory so eloquently put it, outside of the other players, was that, listen, it's a teaching moment and a moment for us to make the tour better and to get the things that we want to make sure we stay around. And he wasn't being nihilistic about it. He wasn't going to blow everything up. He said, you know, what I took it as, Rory's not leaving, but there are certain things that the players want. Understandably, and they should. But the PGA carries a really big stick, okay? And they have 700 million reasons, which is the numbers around their latest TV deals, to not let them go. They are smart people. They are smart business people. They're not going to take this lightly. They're going to figure out how to keep these stars around, which is important to this 8-year contract with TV, both digital and linear. And they're not just going to let the PGL come in and sweep them away. And that was my comment when No Laying Up tweeted about Tiger considering the PGL, which is fine. And that the tour is nervous, as they, you know, they should be concerned. But my point, my reply, and this is where it gets into the drive-by tweeting, as I talked about on Twitter, was consumers like us take in the PGA content for more than just the stars. It didn't say that it wasn't about the stars at all. I said there is more to it than stars. To which someone replied in a drive-by, for a thirst of likes, because they know when they reply, NLU is a very popular platform, and they got and once you know you say something in that community, they pile on. Doesn't matter what they say; it could be an inch deep, mile wide, which is common with no fact based. He said, "When I said there was more to the PGA than just the stars," his reply, "Not remotely true." Which is basically scientific fact from his end that what I said is not true. Here are 5 reasons which I gave him to prove that it is true. And for the record, he had none. Which in a debate like this, typically when you say something is not remotely true, you come back with information that proves your point. I can lift a dump truck over my head. Okay, prove it. Don't need to. I just can. I drank 46 cups of coffee. Number 1, TV data. 2010 through 2018. I've posted this before for the PGA. Tiger 2010 to lean years Tiger with almost, you know, him, and this is peak Tiger. This is 35-year-old Tiger, early, you know, 30s Tiger. Not on TV. Numbers in audience grew compared to 2010, 50, 60, 70% growth. Without your elite premier held the quote tour together for 20 years star. How is that possible when your number one star is not on TV? Everyone always thought that. The only reason why people watch golf is stars and Tiger. Number two, viewers in opposite field events like this week, like the Puerto Rico Open or the Barbasol opposite the British Open. Have you seen the data? I said this on Twitter. Have you seen the data on viewers for those tournaments? It's strong. You'd think that fields with, quote, no stars, the ratings would be flatlined. Not true. People are watching, absent the stars. The DK partnership with the PGA Tour. Why do you think they partnered with, why do you think the PGA and Monahan and his vision and their vision partnered with DraftKings? Why? Spontaneously? Or do they see the roadmap for golf viewership now and into the future? That we better get in front of golf fantasy and golf betting and golf gaming, because that is what's holding together live sports, largely. And that bleeds into, here's the intertwine, the TV coverage argument this week, and the complaints about not seeing guys like Homa, Gooch, Damon. Why? They are awesome characters for the tour. They aren't the elite stars like I lined up earlier. What, you telling me you don't want to see Tiger plus eight and Rose plus three? But they're stars. Why do we not want to watch them? By logic, it's the only reason we do. Wrong. Why? Why do we want to watch Homa, Gooch, and Damon? For Gooch, I can give you, what, 10,000 reasons? If you know what I mean? He was 100-1 going into Sunday. Why does everyone in this community freak out when those guys aren't on TV? What are we viewing it for, largely? I was watching NASCAR tonight. Why? Because someone said Logano is going to win. He almost did. But Homa, Gooch, Damon, not only were they betting favorites going into Sunday with long odds that people wanted to see, but they're also very affable characters on Twitter and in this community. Suture, Bramlett, Homa, Damon. They're relatable. They get it. They talk to the community. Some of them DM people in this community. People want to be more, consumers want to be more invested and connected into the content that they consume in 2020. Less of a class system, less of a, oh, it's Brooks. We gotta tiptoe around him because he's such a star and he doesn't want to talk to us. Now, I know that Brooks Koepka is a very well-respected guy, but is he, or even Tiger, are they connected with the audience like these guys are? And maybe he doesn't need to be, but you also don't have to win majors anymore to be a star. It's very subjective. Week to week, the stars change. The people who were on, the people who were invested in, who are on our fantasy teams, who are heavily weighted, who are heavily bet on, and frankly, who do well, those are the stars that week. And it changes week to week. And I think these players, largely, like Homa's a very smart guy. He gets it. Plus, he's a hell of a golfer. And there were some hiccups early on in the relationship between, you know, the golf fantasy betting community and Twitter community and him. But I think he's a good writer, and he gets it now. The sixth thing, I'm on six things now to support my argument. 6-0, Chief. History. Pebble Beach, why do we watch it? We remember all the moments from that course. That tournament's been going on for what, 1,000 years? Waste Management Open, why do people clamor at 5 a.m. to get seats there? To see the stars? History, fun, event, experience. Why did 2 trillion people try to get tickets to Augusta every year for the Masters? Is it only to watch Thomas Peters? Well, for me, yes. No. The place is filled with history and ghosts. It is sacred land that you just want to walk on. Half the time you're in the gift shop buying hats for $300. No one's sitting there just looking, sitting in a chair with their arms crossed looking at stars. History is a huge component of the PGA Tour. All the memories that you have associated, as I said last week and every week, with the tournaments. Each in their own geography, each in their own history, each in their own culture and city, and the memories of the people who won it. Like the Players' Championship, for instance. We remember all the winners. Remember the moments. The holes. Everything. You can't just start that if you're the PGL. You can't just create history out of thin air. And where are you going to play? If it's Saudi Arabia at that track every week, with guys just crushing 10 million off a weaker field, I am out, personally. And that's what the PGA has to protect its brand. That history, these courses, the tournaments have built these players, and vice versa. It's a shared equity role. And the players deserve more in terms of their appearance fees for some of these tournaments. It's difficult, though, because some of these tournaments, they don't have a ton of cash anyway. The majors do. I mean, look at the Masters. That should be a $50 million prize. You want to make that interesting? Make it $50 million to win. But that library of history and those moments and those visuals for every tournament, from the Heritage to the Honda to Valspar to the Byron Nelson to Riviera, we talk about them every week, even in recent history. The shots, the moments, everything. The course, they're not playing the same course every week and it's in the same city. That's the fun of it. It's moving around the geography of the United States. And the courses don't change that much. I mean, they've been around. Look at the Desert Classic. How long have they been playing it there? And in terms of the TV product, the PGA is going to own a much larger share here of the production, because they get that there's complaints and they get that it needs to change. It's very difficult to do that in real time when you've been doing it a certain way forever. Follow the stars around, interject commentary. But, you know, you can see people, old school guys being let go. McCord, Costas, they're switching things up. They're trying caddy cams. They're going to have, you know, cameras on each hole. They get what you want to see. It's just difficult to undertake it in an instant. But is the PGL going to fix that problem? Are they going to have a bunch of history and cameras everywhere and you're going to love the product? No. Walk yourself through that. And I promise you, the PGA, you do not want to mess with them. That's why. 5 reasons. 6 reasons. That's how you form an argument. I'd rather be trolled than have a drive-by of someone condescending who's never challenged in their life because they live in a safe space and they're pretentious and everyone's afraid to question them because they sound smart. You know what? I've dealt with that my whole life in many ways. And I will come at you. I recorded a voice memo. I was so hot after that. I thought about playing it in the close. I don't know if I should. Let's get to some questions. All right, every week on Twitter, and Josh Perry, thank you, Josh Perry, for something, for once. Reminded me I should put my questions out. So every week on Twitter, I go, pod questions are open, fire away. I'm going to do it as quickly as possible without any research or notes. Ex-NFL scout, who is the sneakiest playing Mexico 30-1 or more? Jazz. Jane wanted an on, plus 150. Plus 15,000. Chief Weber, Chief underscore Weber. How many does Smiley win by in Puerto Rico? No. B-Chill 18 underscore. Did someone really have B-Chill 18 already? Bradley? Should an airplane chair recline? I never recline it. I'm always courteous to the people in the back. But if some asshole started hitting my wife or my family's seat out of retaliation, he wouldn't live. I remember my daughters got off a plane with my wife, and my 9-year-old said, Dad, some guy in the plane yelled at us for nothing. He turned around and told us to be quiet. That guy didn't have a good night. I wasn't even on the plane. I just picked my kids and my wife up at the airport, and she told me that, and she would not tell me this if it was not fact. And I said, what did he look like? And she described him. I go, is that him? Yes. Stand by. Has Morikawa separated himself from the rest of the young guns? Yes. Hovland, no wins. Wolf, a win. Scheffler, no wins. Neiman, a win. M, no wins. I think Morikawa has, and he's young, but he's got everything. He's like a ROM, just kind of, you know, flawless in all parts. He's always competitive, makes a ton of birdies. He could win this week. Which Euro guys have a shot this week? Burned, okay. Hatton, always does well here. Wrist injury, I like Jazz. Jane wanted it on. I like Lowry. Is there anything worse than Bubba Chalk? Not really. That was from Hester, 1157. Christian Anderson, C Anderson underscore 123. See, that's how you do it, B Chill, 18 underscore. You do name underscore number, like C Anderson 123. When did you start drawing golf tournament logos and why? I don't know when. I've always done the list handwriting. I love drawing. I love handwriting. I love drafting. The sketches just materialized. And then I tried to get rid of them because they take a ton of time and people freaked out. So I brought them back. How good is it to get Siwoo at 420-1 for the Masters right now? I mean, that's a number you just, you know, I don't think it's a terrible investment. I don't see Siwoo Kim winning the Masters, but 420-1, can't lose. That's it. That's it. That's all I got. Ton of questions. I'm terrible at reading right now. Let's talk to Ryan. Cash take you on the
cream, get the money. Tiger Woods, y'all.
All right, you said can you be ready at 9:30? I said yes. It's 9:46. That's not bad.
Pretty good.
Technically,
for you.
I was ready at 9:30.
But you had to tweet.
Just not for you.
Yeah. You had to tweet a little bit.
Well, Josh at Perry reminded me that I didn't ask questions, four questions, so I tweeted that out. Plus, I stroked out for a second and had a vision of someone winning the PRO that I'll get to in a second.
Tony Finau.
No. I did tweet about the DFS Open, and I didn't, that I can't attend. It looks not ruled out, but I just wanted you to be able to release your pairings, and I didn't want to make it look like I mattered at all. I don't. Nothing matters. No one matters. It's life. We're on this earth for an hour. Just enjoy it.
That's right.
All I said, all I wanted to say was I didn't want people to think that I was just bailing out because of my wife's severe injury, and which I talked about, her literally detaching her wrist, her hand breaking off her body from a skating accident, and 6 weeks of recovery, can't drive, we have no help, blah, blah, blah.
No, it's crazy. Hope she's doing well. That's a nasty injury she had.
Yes. So I'm not ruled out. I just wanted to make your pairings. There is a chance I can still attend at something. I'm boring as hell, though. I'll be in bed at like 7:30 anyway. But I wanted to, out of respect to you and Joe and the hard work that you've done, I didn't want you to think that I was bailing. Obviously, I'm. You know, the show sponsored it. I want you to do well, and I hope it's a success. It will be a success with me or not.
Yeah, no, there we appreciate go. It. It's been good. We definitely hope you can make it. The spot is there. So hopefully, you know, your wife progresses and turns into Superwoman, and she says, Matt, you should go to Florida.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't care. I mean, she's just like, you should go. I'm like, it's not going to work. I can't risk more family injuries at this point.
Of course.
This week, it is tournament plus opposite field tournament, which are great. And I talked about it in the opening, but you can see the interest in the Puerto Rico Open, which from an elite field standpoint doesn't have any quote stars. And by logic, some of the people on Twitter who believe that the PGA Tour is only relevant because of its, what, 3 to 5 elite stars. This Puerto Rico Open is a hot commodity every year for us, especially when you essentially get two PGA Tour fields split up running at the same time zone. Let's talk about the WGC first, but the Puerto Rico Open field, last year Trainer won, it's completely wide open.
Probably the most wide open event we've seen in a long time.
WGC, though. Let's talk about last week first, and then first week last. Whatever. Very difficult test is Riviera. I love it. It took up all... It takes all you want out of a golfer to succeed at that course. You especially with really good decision making, good iron play, and non-ejecting putting. Those Poa greens, have you ever seen more 5 to 6 foot putts not go in?
It's tough. You know, I think reading those greens is just as hard as like the actual bumpiness to them. You know, we saw a lot of putts miss, but like when you saw like the worm cam, you know, behind the putter, these guys were just like lining them up outside left and watching the putts break left.
Yes.
I think they struggled to read them. They struggled with the speed. I mean, we saw a lot of guys hit chips and putts, you know, 10, 12, 15 feet past the hole. But yeah, it's a test of patience. Ultimately, what I like is that the best ball striker of the week won, and that was Adam Scott.
What's the secret on Poa at that point then? Just absolutely commit to a line and fire it in the back of the hole?
It's basically
just
what it
past
is,
past that
right?
bumpiness?
Yeah, and right? Yeah, that's basically what it is. You know, that's why Snedeker for one, Spieth another, have been really good Poa putters because they're not afraid of the 4 and 5 foot comebackers. Because they're like, you know, I'm just going to ram this one in, and if it misses, I will ram the next one in.
It seemed like Dustin Johnson's putts had the most bumpiness to them. And it frightens me next week or this week with the WGC, also Poa, also Kikuya. You know, he may, and plus he didn't make some of the best decisions down the stretch. Really easy shots into the green, you'd think, from 150 and in. And a little concerning. Rory, again, on a Sunday, what was it, plus three?
Yeah, he was struggling, but he was visibly frustrated. And I don't know if that was just his game, if it was the pace of play, if it was the course, but it's rare to see him that visibly upset on the golf course.
This week, my notes from, and then these, you know, this event has been played at Chapultepec for 3 years now. It's really interesting because it's the highest elevation course, I think, on either tour, at least the PGA, right?
Mm-hmm.
7,800 feet.
Yes.
Ball flies, you know, roughly 10% plus further. You really need to dial in your distances. A lot of guys, you know, there's four par fours under 400 yards. DJ pretty much goes for all of them. You can really cut off the hole by just going for the green. First hole, I think, is 305. And I remember Dustin Johnson had a drive where he almost holed it. For an albatross, but it's overall pretty short when you factor the elevations. Again with the Poa, again with the Kikuyu rough, and if there's an over under on the Kikuyu terminology used by the broadcaster, it's probably in the 300s.
Yeah. So I mean, I remember when this, I guess when we had the first look at this course a few years ago and we were trying to figure out, you know, how it was going to play. It was, oh, it's going to be bombers, and then, oh, it's going to be ball strikers. But yeah, it's bombers. You're going to hit drivers. You're going to hit some wedges. A lot of them might be out of the rough, but you know, it's not that bad. And ultimately it's going to come down to Poa putting. You're going to have to make 25 birdies here this week, probably a couple of eagles. And you're going to have to be comfortable playing out of the rough, mostly with wedges. But, I mean, honestly, on courses like that, you tend to see the bombers do well. You know, DJ and Bubba, for example, are always near the top in terms of, you know, proximity from the rough because they're hitting wedges when other guys are hitting 8-iron, 7-iron, 6-iron.
Phil, good short game. Putters thrive. Phil Hatton. Phil obviously won. Hatton always does well. DJ has won twice, but he was a better Poa putter than he is right now. We've talked about a cross narrative, Omega Masters, European Masters. Your guy fits that event. Scott Hend as well. Also an elevation, also shortish. Fitz, by the way, I think he led the field. He's fifth last week in approach. Really good iron player.
Yeah, he was leading much of the weekend, and then he didn't have a great Sunday. But still, you know, a top 30 for him on that golf course in that field. Probably a step up, and I assume he's going to probably improve on that a little bit more this week.
I like Matsuyama. I'm rethinking him because he, again, lost strokes putting. His approach game was elite last week. His tee to green game all around was elite.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, lastly, not because of necessarily the area, you find that players get really ill this week. And you've seen that in the past. I remember with stomach ailments. I remember Stenson, who was our guy in 2017. I mean, the whole world was on Stenson.
That was fun.
And he went, I think he went birdie, birdie, and then bogey, 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 double, withdraw.
Yeah.
Phil, Tim Mickelson, Phil's brother, caddy, gone. Hatton, the white pants incident. Rory had a lot of trouble. So you just have to keep up with the players' Twitter feeds and to see which ones, if anyone, has gotten sick. Again, I don't know anything about the area. It just seems in Chapultepec, these guys just become ill. Mike's notes, Mike Miller, Smart Golf Bets. At Smart Golf Bets. The course is 10 miles drive northwest of Mexico City, 7,300 yards, effectively 6,700 yards. Ball flies 8.7% further at sea level. Strategic flat, tree line, and tight. I was trying to think of the video that a player posted on Twitter a couple of years ago, but he did a video montage of the narrow, how narrow it was off the tee.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely tight. It's quirky little parkland, Mike says. Placement of drives is more important than distance. Kikuyu fairways suit pure ball strikers. Smallish undulating, very undulating, POA greens that are pretty quick, from what I recall. Many two-tiered. Scrambling off the tee, tee to green, short game. We agree. Anything else to add?
No, I mean, I like guys who are coming from Riviera specifically. I think the POA, like you said, uh-huh. tends to translate well. We get a look at a lot of our European guys this week, so you know it's fun to see them all compare. And you know, for betting, for DraftKings purposes, these are the guys who are super cheap. I saw you tweet about one earlier, so we're both on him, obviously. But even
your guy,
yeah, I mean, guys like Kirk Kitayama and Robert McIntyre, Burns is here. Bezuidenhout is here. Schwab, EVR, MLV, like all of our guys are here. So it's going to be fun to see which one of them can hang in this field.
Last week, the top five in these categories, Approach, Kang, who are here. Kang, Morikawa is in the field now. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Scott, Casey, Fitzpatrick. Casey's coming back into form. Tee to green, Hideki, Bryson, Scott, Rory, DJ. Putting, Kuchar, Rahm, Kang. He had a good week. Rafa. And DJ slightly. No one really had a great putting week. Course history here. Five guys. DJ, obviously, two wins. Rory does well. JT does well. Casey does really well.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyrrell Hatton off the wrist injury. And I think Tyrrell Hatton at 80-1, you wouldn't get that value if it wasn't his first trip back from his wrist injury. He'd probably be half that or 50. But his course history here is pretty spectacular. He hits it very straight, and we know how good of a putter he is.
Yeah, I could see it. You know, I tend to stay away from guys off that kind of layoff because you just never know how they're going to react. I just got burned at Pebble Beach from playing Jim Furyk. You know, perfect course fit, perfect course history, but hadn't played in a couple of months, and he struggled as well. So I think I could get behind Hatton, but I also know that this field is so strong that you can get a lot of really good players at that same price, if not more. So I'm probably going to take a wait and see approach on him.
Here's the question that I had for myself and then you, and I did some research on it. You'd think that a guy like Rahm would thrive here,
mm-hmm.
but he's had two pretty bad years. And if you look back into his last 2 years' history, and the same could be said for Webb Simpson, right?
Yep.
Pretty accurate off the tee, really good iron player, elite scrambler. Rahm's approach numbers here the last 2 years have been terrible. And I don't know if it's a matter of dialing in distance at an elevation, but it's just unusual for a guy like Rahm. Rahm would and the books, you know, think the same way, is a guy that you think would do really well. Webb, I thought the same thing. His off the tee numbers,
mm-hmm.
granted, he's gotten a lot longer off the tee over the last year. But his off the tee numbers are not good. And then Matsuyama, who does pretty well here, I just worry about, since it is he's got great short game, he's got not good putting. I'm just concerned about that. It's so limiting for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think you put him kind of in a bucket. I mean, I would really put him in the same bucket as like Paul Casey. You kind of know that they're going to play well. Matsuyama, I like a drop more just because of the birdie-making upside. He makes way more birdies than Paul Casey. But yeah, just I mean, watching them putt, especially on these greens that are hard enough to putt, yeah, pass for me.
Some numbers I liked from the betting side, the book side. Tyrrell, I mentioned 80-1. There's risk reward. Risk is his wrist. You know, hasn't fully recovered. He has, you know, he's coming in pretty not fresh. But 80-1 for that history is intriguing. Scott, I mean, he's short priced. He could potentially win again, right? I mean, he played that well last week.
We've seen
now he's in a smaller field.
Yeah.
A smaller field and similar putting surface, similar type game, even more acclimated to his style of play.
Mm-hmm.
Then what about Tommy Fleetwood? I mean, Tommy has a really good record here. We obviously know how elite he is off the tee, how far he can hit it, and how straight. He is an underrated world-class scrambler, statistically. Okay putter, not terrible, not great, better than Matsuyama. And Tommy's been playing better. Last year, he wasn't great. European Tour recently, he's been playing a lot better. He's got 2 seconds and an 11th.
Yeah, and I mean, because those were European events and they didn't get the coverage, you know, people kind of forget that he's basically been winning or contending every week. Yeah, when I first went through this list, you know, I kind of went through all the usual suspects and kind of glossed over Tommy, but then I remembered how well he's played here and how well he's playing now, and yeah, it should be a pretty ideal fit for him.
I mean, you've got also way down the list, Bernd Wiesberger, where you can find him at 100-1, 125-1.
Yeah.
He is
our guy.
He ruins everything unless you're on him. And so you almost have to take him so he doesn't ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want a guy who can scramble, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, the situations he finds himself in off the tee and then makes par or birdie from impossible placement. It's no fluke. I mean, he's just that good.
Yeah.
He's a very good putter too. And then Ryan Fox. Now, Ryan Fox is not the best putter. He can obviously mash it off the tee. Plus, he's a pretty good greens and red guy.
Mm-hmm.
200-1 in this smaller field. There's a lot more guys I can eliminate than Ryan Fox. Victor Perez is one I will.
Yeah, Ryan Fox was the one that I mentioned earlier. I think either way, you know, you get a guy like Fox, and you're getting four rounds. You know, there's no cut here. He's a guy who can make two or three eagles and a bunch of birdies. He could finish, you know, middle of the pack here and be, you know, 18th to 20th in DraftKings scoring, and I think that pays off really well. He's played really well the last 2 months, basically, between Europe and Australia. So, yeah, he's going to be a staple, depending on how much I play on DraftKings this week. Yeah,
there's actually a few guys in the 6,000s from the Euro Tour. Herbert, 6.7, also hits it a mile. Also a good scrambler, decent putter.
Mm-hmm.
Head case, hothead, period. He did some stuff at the Vic Open. Was it the Vic Open?
Yeah.
That I just felt was pretty egregious. EVR, Fox is 6.4. I think in a no-cut event, that's where you're going to find a lot of your value. Scheffler, surprisingly, 7.1.
Yeah, it's a little expensive. What about...
Scheffler's expensive at 7.1?
For this field, yeah. Yeah, I think so. He was about the same last week in a full field. There's two other guys I...
You know?
Yeah, two other guys I would mention down there. You talked about Bezuidenhout. He won on the South African Tour yesterday. He shot about 100 under par. Eagled the last hole to get there, but he's a guy who we've seen be pretty consistent over the last year and a half, 2 years. Makes a lot of birdies. Awesome short game. Great putter. And then Jazz. I think people don't realize Jazz is a lot like Herbert, right? He's better, but he hits it hard. He hits it far.
Great scrambler.
Yeah, makes a lot of birdies. So I think Jazz, Fox, Poseidonhoot, like those are the kinds of guys that I'll be sprinkling in this week.
A sprinkle a little on 150-1 on Jazz. Jane wanted it on.
Sprinkle the whale bets. Yes.
All right, Model TM. I didn't like Model TM, but I'm gonna commit to just. I'm not gonna reconfigure it how I want to see it. This is what it spit out. I heavily weighed off the tee. I weighed scrambling, poa putting, approaches. Rory, Webb, Xander, Rahm, Fox. Interesting. Good. Thomas, Lowry, DeChambeau, Matsuyama, Victor Perez. Don't like number 10.
I mean,
it no DJ, no Reed, no Fleetwood. Stats limited for some of them.
Yeah.
But like some guys in there that don't do well here, Rahm, Webb. That's what I'm saying. That predictively they should do well, but you know, it's interesting they don't.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why Rahm doesn't do well here. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Approach.
Yeah, yes, but he hits it a mile. He's a pretty good iron player. He scrambles well, putts well, likes Poa. Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot of guys who can do well here. I have a pretty narrow list of guys who I think can win. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Rory and DJ are going to be there Sunday.
Correct.
Who can take them down? I'm not sure. There are three guys, I think. Yeah, there are three guys who stood out to me who could potentially win if it's not Rory or DJ. Fleetwood would be one. I think Paul Casey would be two. And then I have a feeling that Morikawa is going to be there this weekend. Ball striking has still been great. He putted atrociously last week. But I think this is the type of event. There's no pressure to make a cut. Not that he misses them anyways. But I really like Morikawa this week.
Yeah, I'm probably in the same zone. Matsuyama still a question mark. But outside of DJ Rory, Fleetwood, I don't know about Casey. Morikawa, I like Matsuyama. Yeah. I think Scott could still be there again.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see
what's wrong with Justin Thomas, by the way.
I don't know. I mean, he just looks often in all aspects. His timing looks off. His putting looks off. He doesn't look happy on the golf course. And so I'm not sure if there's other things going on with him. But, you know, he always seemed to have a pretty good attitude out there. And right now it just looks like he's forcing everything and he's super, super frustrated.
He has not had good putting stats for a couple of years now, which when he was winning 11 times a year, that was his game.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have put him up there with the best in the world. And it's become a little unreliable. And I think that has an effect on his game all the way back to the tee.
Yeah.
All right. My eyeballs say what I said. I think I'm going to fall back in love with Tommy Fleetwood again this week.
I like it.
I just have seen a lot of good stuff from him on the European tour. If he could just string it together for 4 days. It's like when he's near the lead or close to the lead, he just doesn't believe he should be there.
Mm-hmm.
When he is chasing you, watch out.
Yeah, and he's an easy guy to root for. I mean, he's going to make birdies and eagles. He's not going to get in trouble. So, yeah, I think we're all on board with Fleetwood this week.
All right, let's jump to the Puerto Rico Open.
Korn Ferry Tour Finals.
Yes.
Basically.
Martin Trainer won last year. I think, who did we have? We definitely had the guy who finished second or third, because that's how it goes. And who finished second or third last year? I'll tell you right now.
Well,
thanks to Smart Golf Bets.
I didn't have Daniel Berger.
I did.
I definitely had some Johnson Wagner action last year.
Yes. So
maybe that's who it was.
I will never forget how Wagner finished that tournament. And that's all I'll say. I will not have Wagner this year.
Yeah.
Ben Crane did well last year, too. If it's going to be windy, this is not an easy course. I mean, minus 15 won last year. That's mm-hmm. not Sanderson Farms minus 30. I think that one of the predominant stats, if you look at winners previous, Alex Chaika, for instance, Justin Hadley won here too.
Oh, yes.
Scramblers.
Mm-hmm.
The wind is going to be likely an issue, and you want guys who can make par or better when missing greens in regulation. You'd think that in that regard, a guy like Alex Noren would wipe this field. By the way, Tony Finau, who won here, like Fleetwood, who you don't think would be, is a very good scrambler. Noren, I looked at good scramblers who are having pretty good form right now. Shank, McNealy. I'd like DJ Trahan, 80-1. Hovland, I know. Patrick Rogers, we talked about that before the podcast. He's playing really well, very good putter, pretty good scrambler. The one guy, though, that jumps out at me, and I said this on Twitter about an hour ago, and it could be because I am hazing out because I've had about a half a kilo of Splenda today in different forms, is K.H. Lee. I don't know what it is. He putt really well. He's a decent ball striker. But I just feel like K.H. Lee's going to win this week. And I can't put my finger on why at 66-1.
Yeah, very interesting. I actually ran a model just because I was curious as to what it would spit out. The model doesn't hate K.H. Lee, but I basically used five different things that I was looking at, and he showed up in zero of those categories. So maybe
The model does hate K.H. Lee.
Yeah. Well, there's so many bad players that he was still like 25th in the model, but there were four guys who stood out above all of the rest by a pretty wide margin. One of them obviously was Victor Hovland. Number two was Matthew Neesmith. Number three was Cameron Davis. And number four,
I like it.
Four was the aforementioned Maverick McNealy. Now, I've been playing him a lot, but now he's class of the field. He's on Bermuda, which is not his best surface. He's been riding a hot putter. So I think of those four, I would have McNealy last. But yeah, Neesmith, Hovland, and Cameron Davis, who, I mean, Aussie winners every week. Why not, right?
And wind.
Yeah.
And was 16th last year.
Yeah.
Cameron Davis is in good form.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't bet him because he was like 30-1, which, you know, I don't really want to bet anybody who's not like 80-1 or more in this field. But if he gets off to a medium to slow start and he drifts a little bit, watch out for Cameron Davis.
I've never in 133 shows agreed with you until right now.
All it took was the Puerto Rico Open.
The Cameron Davis is a great pick, Ryan. You know who else is a good pick? Peter Uihlein. Okay.
The wounds are very fresh from watching him just choke it away yesterday on the Korn Ferry Tour. He played great for three rounds. Granted, it was out of nowhere.
Everyone chokes it away. Rory chokes it away.
Yeah, and they shot like three over or whatever.
Who can you rely on to close at a tournament in 2020?
Adam Scott. That's about it.
It's going to go Scott, Cameron Davis. That's what is going to happen. Scott's going to win again, Cameron Davis. And Australia is going to rule the world.
Hey, I don't know.
I don't know. They're going to send ships into the Atlantic Ocean and conquer Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a complete shit show. I will root for Peter Uihlein every single week. I just don't see it.
Australia's taking over the world.
Yeah, Cameron Davis week. Everyone get on board. Miscut time.
And then my guy Derek Gillespie from Oshawa, Ontario, Canada, at 1,000 to 1.
Yeah, what's the backstory there?
Well, okay, Derek, we were the same age. We grew up in the same city, Oshawa, very blue collar town. I mean, very, very blue collar. There aren't a lot of golf courses. There aren't a lot of anything. To become a professional golfer who finished, sixth at the NCAAs in 1999 when Luke Donald won?
Yeah.
You've got to have a special talent because we couldn't golf. He played at some, cow pasture, the Oshawa, Airport Golf Club, and learned his game without coaching, without training, just on his own, ground and pound.
Yep.
And he's been on, Latino Tour, the Canadian Tour. He's won a couple of times there. He was in a horrific car accident in Arizona a few years back. Nearly lost his life, It seemed. And then I saw him in the field here. I guess he won the qualifier last week to get in. Listen, obviously it's 1,000 to 1. But it's just interesting to note that a guy I grew up with in my hometown is playing.
Yeah, throw him on a DraftKings team.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he's going to be $6,000.
Yeah.
But he also won, what's the show on the Golf Channel?
Big Break.
Big Break.
Mm-hmm.
2014, I believe.
Interesting. Yeah, it's cool to see those guys play. I grew up playing with Jason Kokrak, so I always lose money on him, but it's definitely cool to see them playing.
You grew up with Canadian Kokrak?
Yeah, well, born in North Bay, but he moved to Ohio. He lived in Youngstown throughout high school, played against him. So now nice. I get to lose money on him every week.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good story, Ryan.
Thank you.
All right, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. All right, I promised I would release the voice memos. I just realized that when I was having that argument on Twitter, I was really hot because I just get that way defending a point when I feel like someone is talking down to me without facts. It probably didn't deserve this reaction. It's really not a huge deal, but the theatrics of this voice recording, I found hilarious. There were more of them. I won't release those, but this one, who cares? I'm nuts. At least I'm interesting. Of course I'm crazy. Have a good week. Thomas Peters, Cage Lee. I'll close with this.
Why do you think they're going to the Waste Management Open every year? It's a tradition. It's a party. People want to be part of that tradition. You just don't start a tradition in year one. Why do people go to the Masters? Why? To watch Thomas Peters?
I would.
No! To stand on hallowed ground. All the ghosts that live there from 100,000 years of Masters and all the moments you remember, you get to soak them up in real time. I watch Pebble Beach because I like watching Pebble Beach. I hate the Saudi International Open. If it's going to be three guys sharing $10 million each week, that's going to suck ass to me. You are not going to kill the PGA Tour.